We are reading today from the fifth canto, chapter 1, verse 8. So the whiteboard is white. The verse is very, very long, and we will need few of them to write the entire verse. So I will try to chant it along. Tatra tatra gagana tala udu patir ivavima navalibir anupataham amara parivridai abhipujyamanaha pati paticha varutsa sasida gandharva sadhya charana muniganai upagiyamano ganda Madana dronim hava basa yanu pasa saha saha he Lord Brahma tatra tatra here and there gaganatale under the canopy of the sky Udupati, the moon, Iva, like, Vimana Avalibihi, in their different airplanes, Anupatam, along the path, Amara, of the demigods, Parivritai, by the leaders, Abhipuja Yamanaha being worshipped Pati Pati on the way one after another Cha also Varutasaha in groups Siddha by the resident of Siddha Loka Gandharva, by the residents of Gandhavaloka. Sadhya, by the resident of Sadhyaloka. Charana, by the residents of Charanaloka. Muniganai, and by great sages. Upagiyamanaha, being worshipped. Gandhamadana of the planet where the Gandhava hill is found. Dronim the border. Avavasayan illuminating. Upasarpa he approached. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the chapter today is called The Activities of Maharaj Priyavatra. And here is the translation. As Lord Brahma descended on his carrier, the Great Swan, all the residents of the planets named Siddhaloka, Gandhavaloka, Sadhyaloka and Charanaloka, as well as great sages and demigods flying in their different airplanes, assembled within the canopy of the sky to receive Lord Brahma and worship him. As he received respect and adoration from the residents of the various planets, Lord Brahma appeared just like the full moon, surrounded by illuminating stars. Lord Brahma's great swan then arrived in the border of Gandhamadana Hill and approached Prince Priyavrata, who was sitting there. Purport. It appears from the description that there is a regular interplanetary travel between the planets and of the demigods. Another significant point is that there is a planet covered mostly by great mountains, one of which is the Gandhamadana Hill. Three great personalities, Priyavatra, Narada and Svayambhuva Manu, were sitting on this hill. According to the Brahma Samhita, each universe is filled with different planetary systems and every system has a unique opulence. For example, on Siddha Loka, all the residents are very advanced in the power of mystic yoga. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes and other flying machines. Similarly, the residents of Gandhava Loka are expert in musical science, and those of Sadhya Loka are great saints. The interplanetary system undoubtedly exists, and residents of different planets may go from one to another. On this Earth, however, we have not invented any machines that can go directly from one planet to another, although an unsuccessful attempt has been made to go directly to the moon. So the verse again. As Lord Brahma descended on his carrier, the great swan, all the residents of the planets named Siddha Loka, Gandhava Loka, Sadhya Loka and Charana Loka, as well as all great sages and demigods flying in their different airplanes, assembled within the canopy of the sky to receive Lord Brahma and worship him. As he received respect and adoration from the residents of the various planets, Lord Brahma appeared just like the full moon surrounded by illuminating stars. Lord Brahma's great swan then arrived in the border of the Gandhamadana Hill and approached Prince Priyavrata, who was sitting there. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pashkatyade Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyastya Kripa Sindubhya Evacha. Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us beautiful description of stories that are happening. Here, right now, Lord Brahma is arriving close to King Priyavata, Narada Muni, Svayambhuva Manu, and we can feel in the air something great is going to happen. Why? Because all demigods from the different planetary system are coming and assembling there to see what will happen now. And when they see Lord Brahma, they offer respect to Lord Brahma and they start to worship him. And because of that, Lord Brahma becomes effulgent, shining, and look like the moon which is surrounded by all stars. And then Lord Brahma on the swan come closer and closer to King Priyavrata. And we will hear next days what will be these great things happening. I thought, because today the Kirtan retreat will start, I thought to somehow make a link into this week which is in front of all of us, a week of sincere endeavors. Yeah. A week of sincere endeavors, a week of sincere attempt to come closer to the Holy Name, to come closer to Krishna. And we are also a little bit like in this scenario here in Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if demigods had appeared or came, but for sure many saints are coming from all around so that we can assemble together for a big yagya, for a big worship. So like in the Bhagavatam, we can feel something special is going to happen. Something very great is going to happen. And one might feel even some small type of anxiety. How will it go? Will I reach where I want to go? Will the Holy Name manifest to me? Will I experience great bliss and great inner spiritual satisfaction? That's a little bit like here. The Lord Brahma is coming. Everyone is, wow, here is Lord Brahma. What will happen? What will be next? So in the same way, we should be actually full of expectation for this week that is coming. How will that happen? How will I be able to experience Krishna consciousness in a lot of depths, in a lot of ecstasy, a lot of taste? That's how I would like to link the verse from today to this week which is coming. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, just before the appearance of Lord Krishna, when the earth, Mother Earth, was terrified by many, many demons, Mother Earth took the form of the cow and went to Lord Brahma. Oh? Yeah? Went to Lord Brahma. And she said, oh, I'm in such a great trouble. Please help me. Please do something. And Lord Brahma said, well, I'm in charge of the maintain. I'm in charge of the creation. No. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm in charge of the creation. We should go to Lord Vishnu. He's in charge of maintaining. So Lord Brahma came with Mother Earth to Lord Vishnu to ask for some help. And here is the point. He actually did not go alone, but he took with him all the demigods, because he knew if I go alone to ask Vishnu, I have not much weight. But if all the demigods come with me and we all together come in front of Vishnu, there we have much more chance. And that's a group petition. And that's also what is going to happen during this retreat. When so many devotees come together with this sincere desire to establish connection with Krishna, there is a lot of strength that is generated. We know we are, for most of us, living in devotee association, and we know how beneficial it is to have this association in our own spiritual life. We can see when we go out of the temple sometimes for a week or so, how our spiritual life becomes more difficult, how it's become really a struggle. But in association, it's so helpful. So when there is a strong association, when all the devotees assembled are really looking just for that, just to establish this connection, then we have great chance for a deep, deep experience. We are now all together for a group petition. A group petition for the Holy Name to appear, for the Holy Name to manifest. How much blessings, how much mercy is going to flow during those days? Srila Satchinandana Swami is sometimes saying, please expect miracles. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it, oh, again, another retreat. Most probably there will be things a little similar than last year, and yeah, let's see how it will go. No, we should expect miracles. This type of moments when we come together with this strong determination, strong desire to establish the connection. There are moments that can bring miracles, but we need to hope for it. We need to have faith that something can happen. In our devotional life, we are making step-by-step progress. Small step, small step, small steps. But when there is such a commitment and such association, is the time when we can make actually big step forward. So we should be looking forward. We should be full of this enthusiasm. Oh, now it's a chance. It's one of my greatest chance. Maybe during the year, maybe during the month, I should really take it as much as I can, as serious as I can. So please expect miracles. Expect something very beautiful to happen. It's a little bit like going on pilgrimage. When we are going on pilgrimage, usually we leave aside our usual life. Sometimes we leave aside our route, our usual service we are doing for the mission, and we can just totally absorb into Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vandanam. So here, although many of you have services also to do, it's very, very important, if you can, to leave as much as possible of the daily activities that maybe do not need so much attention during that week, so that you can really benefit the maximum for this retreat. Take full advantage to bring the holy name, to bring Krishna in the center of our practice. At least this week. Huh? Let's do it at least this week. Srila Satchinandana Swami explained yesterday in his lecture about the need or the importance to look for this personal relationship with Krishna beyond all other relationship of this material world. And I would like to speak, try to follow a little bit that stream on the point of really trying to keep Krishna in the center of our life or in the center of our practice. We are all the time engaged in service, isn't it? Almost 24 hours a day. Of course, we need to sleep in between sometimes. But all of us are really actively engaged in service. From Mangalarati to the evening, we are basically just serving the Lord. We are basically just engaged in service. So our body is fully engaged. Now, what is it about our mind? How is our mind engaged? How much is our mind linked or connected into our action, into what we are actually doing? And I would like to speak a little bit on that, because it's very relevant in my own life, to somehow keep the link of what I'm doing, to keep my services connected to Krishna. We know that many of us are very busy, and often we might do disconnected service. We might be doing service, but we have lost everything of the meaning for whom we are doing it. And I think it's very, very important that we are striving, we are really craving to have this connection as we are performing our service. Otherwise, our service do not bring much satisfaction, and we don't know how much we will do them. So this desire for connection in our service is very, very important. And that means to keep actually Krishna in the center of what we are doing, of our activities. And there was once, I don't remember his name, Prabhupada disciple, the story happened in Vrindavan when the Krishna Balaram Mandir was built. And the devotee who was in charge was really challenged. He was from the West, and all the Indian company were just trying to steal, all trying. He had really a lot of troubles. And he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I cannot chant properly. I don't have time for reading. This service is really too much. I want to change. Please find somebody else to do the service." And Srila Prabhupada answered, "Do you think that when Arjuna was on the battlefield, do you think he was just meditating on the form of Krishna or on Krishna's pastimes? No, he was fully engaged into the activity. But he was conscious, I'm doing that for Krishna." And here I think it's the easiest. Here is our link. Here is our chance to connect just by this small remembrance, for whom am I doing the service? Just to remember for whom we are doing the service. I remember in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness when I was meeting the devotees, I like to make bread. So I would knead the bread, but I was feeling, how can I put love in this strong activity of kneading the bread? So I asked the devotee, "How do you do?" And the devotee said, no, you don't understand the principle. If you want to put love in whatever you are doing, you need to just keep in mind for whom you are doing that. Just keep in mind Shri Radha Gopinath. Just keep in mind your Ishtadev that are here. Just time to time retune. Just time to time do this endeavor of remembering. Why? For whom am I doing the service? A friend of me was doing some service in a Christian community in Switzerland. They were doing farming and activities like this. But many times during the day, they would stop and there was the time to remember for whom they were doing the service. That was their time to remember the Lord. That's our Gayatri time also in our tradition. So that's our chance. Those moments of break into the services, they are moments for retuning ourselves, redirecting ourselves so that we keep Krishna in the center. We don't have just our activities in the center and Krishna in the background or far in the background. But Krishna is in the center, and just in that way we perform the activities. That's such a crucial point. That's what transforms actually normal service into devotional service. And that makes so much difference into our daily life. That will give so much taste, so much enthusiasm into what we are doing when we can just keep this link, just keep this connection. Some years ago, we were in Switzerland with Sachinandana Swami. And early in the morning, we had to make a drive to Croatia. So we left quite early morning, and we were just both of us in the car, and Maharaj just took his kartals and started to make kirtan. So he was chanting, and suddenly he just stopped chanting. And he looked at me and he said, "Why? Why are you chanting and you don't think of Krishna? Why?" I mean, it was early morning, I had packed and I was a little tired. But he was making the point, don't do your activities without this connection. You chant Hare Krishna, you should think of Krishna. How can you chant without thinking of Krishna? How can you do that? You should think of Krishna when you chant. Once Srila Prabhupada, that's a story that happened in Mayapur. There was a GBC meeting. All the GBCs were there, a big gathering with all the head of our movement. And before one of those meetings, one devotee brought a picture to Srila Prabhupada with a preaching program they had done. And on that picture, there was some ladies doing some Bharatanatyam dance, and they were turning their back to the deities. They were, of course, looking at the audience. That was a public, that was like a big program. And Prabhupada looked at the picture and asked, "Why are the dancers turning their backs to the deities?" So the devotee tried to explain, yeah, that was a public program, and like this, that was for big crowd. And Prabhupada just kept on asking the question, "Why are the dancers turning their back to the deities. The devotee was speechless, did not know what to say anymore. Then Prabhupada said, call all the GBCs here in the room. Call everyone here. And everyone came. And Prabhupada was just keeping on asking the question, why are the dancers turning their back to the deities? Just Prabhupada wanted to make a point. We need to keep Krishna in the center. Krishna needs to be in the center. We cannot afford, we cannot tolerate to do our service and to leave Krishna in the back. No, Krishna needs to be in the center. This is absolutely necessary. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what we are aiming for. This should be our focus. This should be our goal in Krishna consciousness. I had also a small experience when I was in India some years ago. I was staying in a small ashram in Govindakund, and there was a well to pitch the water, but the wheel was very rusted. So every day when I would take the water, it was such a struggle to use this wheel that every day I was not happy to do that. Anyway, one morning, Baba, the Baba of the ashram, just put a few drops of oil on the wheel. And the next day I came and it was going so easily. And that was a time I was trying to chant, I was trying to absorb, and I was just amazed how things can become easy. And the question came to my mind, what is the oil of my spiritual life? What will make my spiritual life going so smooth and so easy? And I was just thinking and thinking and thinking and praying to receive answer. And somehow while chanting, I received in my heart an answer that was, when you are able to put Krishna in the center. When Krishna is in the center, there is no struggle anymore. And even if some struggle are there, they are blissful struggle. That's no problem. There is no depressed feeling. There is no anxieties. When Krishna is in the center, everything is just flowing so naturally, so beautifully. We are connected. We are in the flow. We are in the wave of devotion. So now for this week, the holy name will be our focus, the holy name. We will try to keep the holy name in the center, and I hope all of us will have very deep breakthrough, that we will reach some areas of our heart where we will discover jewels, and that we'll keep that with our life, that we will all be like going into this, how we call that? There was in mystic Christian a type of river or lake that you would go in and you will come out young. I don't know how it calls, but that's rejuvenation. Oh, I don't know, my English is really not so good. But we will all get a new life. We'll all get strength, because the holy name is really our life. That's the life of our Krishna consciousness. If we are weak, weak in our spiritual life, that's a sign of compromised japa, a sign of compromised chanting of the holy name. Oh, we still have some time. Oh, okay. So, I was just remembering in this point of keeping Krishna in the center, how every morning Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boy would enjoy so much to go out in the pasturing ground. They will go with the cows. They will feel so happy to play together. They will sing. They will dance on the way. And every morning some demon will come. And His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained that the demons were coming to break their play. They were so much absorbed in playing that they will forget to take breakfast or to take lunch. So a demon was sent so that they will break their play and they will remember to eat and to do those type of activities. So in that early morning, they had the the pastimes with Agasura. And after killing Agasura, the cowboy boy thought, oh, yes, that's it. That's the time for our breakfast. Let's look for the suitable place. So they walk along the Yamuna River, and they saw a place where the sand was white like camphor. There was no prints, there were no trace, nothing was there. It was so beautiful, so attractive. There were trees that were making like type of cycle that were providing proper shade for this area, and the cowboy boy knew, that's our place, let's go there to take our breakfast. So Krishna sat in the middle, and all the cowboy boy sat around looking toward Krishna. And all cowboy boy had the feeling that Krishna was looking at them directly. And then they decided to share their breakfast. They all took their breakfast out. Some put their breakfast on a stone. Some they put it on the bark of a tree. Some put it on leaves of tree. And here, surprisingly, nobody wanted to eat for themselves. They just wanted Krishna to eat what they had with them. They did not thought, oh, I'm hungry, let me try to eat it. No, they just were thinking, how can I encourage Krishna? How can I push Krishna or encourage him so that he will accept the food I have? And here we have such a beautiful example of what Krishna consciousness is. The devotees in Krishna consciousness want to offer first to Krishna, not first for themselves. It's a very basic principle, I think we hear very, very often, but it's so true. It's so necessary. It's so important. How many times are we doing offerings to the Lord? How many times do we go with an offering plate to our deities? How many times do we really meditate? Now Krishna will eat. Now I really want Krishna to enjoy my cooking. And how many times do we fall into this trap of just mechanic offering because we know we should do this, it's good for us to do this. In our chanting of the holy name, how much are we tuning to give pleasure to Krishna in our chanting? Some may ask how chanting can give pleasure to the Lord. Huh? To give pleasure, you give a gift. If you want to please someone, you offer a gift to a person. And when we chant the holy name, we are offering the most precious gift to Krishna. We are offering our consciousness. We are offering our attention. We are offering actually our all being. That's how we chant the holy name, for giving pleasure to Krishna. I don't want to say too much there. We will get much elaborated and much clearer points on that. But what I want to say is, in all our activities, how much are we thinking of really giving pleasure to Krishna? And there is one very, very nice tip, or very, very nice help, is by meditating that our spiritual master is next to us. Just next to us, watching. Watching how we are doing. Watching how we are serving. If we just switch into that consciousness, then we are doing everything so nicely, so Krishna conscious. There was another example I would like to quote, and then we can see if there are some questions. It's the example of the pastimes when Lord Krishna stealed the clothes of the gopis. During the month, how is the month called? That's the month right after Kartik. All the unmarried Rajgopis of Vrindavan decided to perform austerities in order to become married with Krishna. That was their goal. So every morning, at that time they would eat only khichdi without spices. They would have really strict life. They had their goal very fixed in their mind. We want Krishna as a husband. And every morning at Brahma Muhurta time, they will call each other by their names, and then they will assemble, they will hold each other's hand, and they will go to the Yamuna to perform the worship of Katyayani. They will make the deities, the murti of the deities, Katyayani, with earth, and they will worship the deities with sandalwood paste, incense, and many paraphernalia. And then they will pray, O Durga Devi, O Mother Katyayani, O Mahayogini, please arrange our connection to Krishna. Please arrange for us to be married with Krishna. Because they knew Krishna did not receive second initiation yet. Krishna do not have the Brahman threat initiation. He cannot be married now. But they were praying to Mother Katyayani, please remove, put in illusion all the parents and family members so that we can have something like a Gandhava marriage, a marriage that can be done without the sanction of the parents. That was their prayers. So every day they will come and do this worship with this prayer. They were tuned. I mean, they were fixed. Their goal was fixed. They wanted to be married with Krishna. They were doing their puja, their worship. They knew why. They were not doing it mindlessly. They knew what they really wanted. And because of that, because of this dedication in their service, Krishna was so pleased and decided to reciprocate. So on the last day, Krishna came there. And as the Braj gopis were taking their bath in the Yamuna, Krishna stealed their clothes and climbed the tree. And then he started to laugh. He started to laugh louder and louder and louder until the gopis heard laughing and they were looking what is happening. And then they saw Krishna in the tree. They saw Krishna and they saw their clothes next to Krishna. So from that time, very, very beautiful, very, very sweet discussions took place between Krishna and the gopis. The gopis were saying, please throw down our clothes. We need to come out of the river and do our duties. And Krishna was saying, what's the proof that it is your clothes? So the gopis were saying, look, that's woman's clothes. It can be only ours. And Krishna would say, do you think you are the only woman in the world? And like this. And the gopis were saying, because Krishna came with some small friend, some very young boy. So the gopis were saying, please, send those boys to give us the clothes. And Krishna was saying, no. You have to come yourself. Then the gopis were laughing. They were a little bit disturbed. That was not such an easy task that Krishna was asking them. But they were seeing how loving Krishna was. They were experiencing a lot of happiness in their hearts. So the gopis were teasing each other. They were saying, you go first. And the other gopis said, no, you go first. And let's see if Krishna will give us the cloth or not. But still they were in the river. And then Krishna said, oh, I become tired. Let me take those clothes and I will make a hammock. And I will lay down and I will rest a little bit. I did not sleep the whole night. I need a little rest. You make up your mind. When you are ready, I will give you your cloth. And the gopis will answer, Gopal, your cows, they are gone. Better you come down and give her our clothes before you lose totally your calves. And Krishna was saying, no. I know where are my calves. And like this. Finally, the gopis tried everything. They pleaded, they said, we will tell everything to Kamsa. They were saying, you are Dharmaraj. They were calling Krishna Dharmaraj, like saying, you should follow Dharma. Why are you doing those things? They tried all the techniques, but there was no ways. And then they came to a certain point, a crucial point. The gopis thought, we think that if we want to give pleasure to Krishna, we have to give up our self-interest. And that's the point. That's again the same point of putting Krishna in the front. Even though we might be inconvenienced, even though we might not like to do this type of service or that type of service, even though we might not have any taste in chanting the holy name, we want to do that. We want to do that as a selfless service, as just there to please the Lord. This is just for you. That should be our motto. That should be all the time in our awareness, all the time in the background of our mind. This is just for you. I don't want anything else in exchange. Shishi Radha Gopinath, this is just for you. I don't want anything else. So I will stop here. I don't know if you have any questions or any comment. Thank you for sharing this anxiety. Will Krishna accept my service? Is my service good enough? Or should I improve my service? Should I do it better? Should I do it with more consciousness? That's this type of anxiety is very, very beautiful. Thank you. I have one friend who some years ago, I just say that and then we stop. I know we are all busy, we have long days in front of us. We had Sachinandana Swami and Kadamba Kanana Swami had organized some preaching party on a boat. We were going on a boat for 1 week and we will sail somewhere here, somewhere there for 1 week. And there was one devotee there in the crowd and he thought, I want to do one service during this week. So he looked at the service list that was on the board somewhere, and he saw there was only cleaning the toilets that was free, and that was for sure not at all his cup of tea. Anyway, he surrendered, and I mean those boats are big, there's a lot of people on it, but there are not so many place for room and not so many bathrooms. So it was quite a hard labor for that devotee, and that devotee was just trying to focus. I do that for Krishna. I do that for the devotees and for Krishna. So in the beginning it was really hard. And then in the middle of the week he was starting to think, let me do so good that the devotees will praise me, that devotees will think I do such a good job. But he was chastising himself. No. I want to do that for Krishna, nothing for myself. And he just kept on doing that service. And he told me the last day I was doing the service, I cried. I was cleaning the toilet, but I was crying because I really did it for Krishna, and it was such a beautiful experience. So it's really, it should be our focus, it should be our goal in spiritual life, so that all our activities are totally in tune to giving pleasure to Krishna. That's really the essence of what we are doing. We should not lose ourselves in the 10,000 things to do, but we should always keep this essence of Krishna consciousness in front of us. And whatever we are doing, even if it's small, even if it's not so much, even if it's not so beautiful, but consciousness needs to be there. That should be our goal. That should be really our focus. Okay. So thank you. Yeah? Try to check how urgent is the demand service. If it's really urgent, then you do it. You just surrender. If it's not so urgent, maybe it can be done the next day. So you say, okay, next day I will help you, but now I really need to take my time. But I know that's a practical issue in our ISKCON temples. Too very difficult to find time for reading and time for really contemplation of Krishna consciousness. Something that is very good, just go out, just hide. Because it's necessary. If we don't have this absorption in Krishna consciousness, if we don't have time to process our philosophy, if we don't have space to meditate on those philosophical points, we cannot be happy. Prabhupada was saying 1 hour a day at least you should read with full of attention. So we need to take care of that as our basic not survival but our basic maintenance of our Krishna consciousness. So that should be quite a priority in our life, to find this time and to find this space for absorption. But sometimes we need to sacrifice that for according to the urgency. And when it comes too often, hide. Yeah, Mataji. Actually, all we are doing is just there to help us to have a good chanting and good remembrance of Krishna. Sometimes we forget what's the reason of all we are doing. It's just there to help us remember Krishna. Yeah, thank you for noticing that. That should be our main service. And I think of all instruction of the spiritual master, our chanting of 16 rounds is the one which is the most essential. Thank you. Good. So I think I repeated the point quite enough during the lecture. Let's try to keep it in mind now and to try to apply it as much as possible during the day and during the week and the month and the year and remaining time in this body. Garantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.